So we are going to interview Sarah today, who is an amazing anti-arms activist. Would you say that's fair, Sarah?
Yeah, fighting and the arms trade in general.
Fighting the arms.
Not to be confused with the limbs that we all
need.
Need
I wouldn't have used
How's that movement going to get rid of human arms?
Yeah, arms companies are doing pretty well at it, ironically.
Well, yes, that's true. There's a link there, well done. Absolutely. So... you've come to talk to us today about some brilliant actions that are coming up. So would you like to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So basically in September, there's this little thing happening in East London, which is the world's biggest arms fair. And basically it's a supermarket kind of affair where arms companies can come and display their wares. Countries like Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, you know, the United States can come and meet other arms dealers and other countries that engage in conflict. And basically they can just test out their weapons and decide what new deals they want to take away from it. So it's pretty huge. I think the last one, it comes every 2 years. And in 2011, there was nearly 50,000 people there.
Yeah.
And, you know, over 1,000 companies, 55 countries represented. So, yeah, it's a pretty...
Nice and inclusive.
Pretty inclusive. I mean, you could kind of compare it to the size of the Olympics, but not getting quite as much press coverage.
Mm. No, they don't. I watched a couple of videos on Dicey, and it was really weird. Like, I mean, it was full on. This is an advert to come to the Dicey Arms Fair, where we sell the most advanced, brutal weapons that are going to be sent all around the world to do horrible things. But they managed to just, I mean, every single thing, they just avoid any words like weapons, conflict, war, killing, murder, death, people, anything like that. It's just like, I'm of such and such systems, and we build products for our customers that are of a specific type of ground-ready merchandise and things like that. And they say it with total lack of irony and in total seriousness. And they're dressed and they approach the customer in the way that those, Love Film would approach you in a mall. You know, you got two people dressed in suits and they got little clipboards. Hi, how you doing? Come and check out my landmine. It blows children up.
Yeah, no, it's so weird. It's completely kind of dehumanized, you know. And apparently this year, people are going to be able to test fly drones, unmanned drones. So they'll be able to sit in this place in London testing weapons flying over Wales.
Really?
Which is just bizarre.
That is bizarre.
But the whole thing, it's like a bunch of kids who like playing with army toys have gone into a room and decided, you know, let's do a big weapons show.
They need to just play Call of Duty at home.
Yeah, no. It's very odd. But yeah, unfortunately, it's not just bizarre, it's really sinister. Because, you know, you've got things like cluster munitions, which should be banned, which are banned by international law, kind of still being displayed a couple of years ago and things like that.
Really?
It was only down to sort of pressure and campaigning that stopped that, wasn't it?
Yeah, well...
Because they really, like, I mean, when it comes to these kind of rules, I mean, until there's pressure, they don't really give a toss, you know, as far as I can tell.
Like, yeah, I think it was Caroline Lucas who managed to get in as an MP, and she kind of took photos and spoke out about it. Not sure they're going to let her in again, which is unfortunate.
If I was running an arms fair, I'd probably try not to let Caroline Lucas in.
I wouldn't let her anyone in.
I'd just set some rule like no women or something like that.
no lefty women. but people have managed to get in, activists have managed to get in the past and pulled off some pretty crazy stunts inside, sort of climbing on top of a tank and that kind of thing. But yeah, one of the hardest things about it is it's held in the Excel Centre, which is a kind of soulless place in East London. It's a kind of dystopian, it's basically, if you read a dystopian sci-fi novel, that is what the Excel Centre is.
So it's quite hard to access physically.
Yeah, really hard. And they just, you know, lock down the whole centre during Dicey, which means that it actually really affects local people because they just can't suddenly go on the roads that they used to and that kind of thing.
They bring in a warship, don't they?
They do, yeah.
Just to impress the arms dealers and the buyers. They're like, look at our massive warship.
And they often hold like a kind of smooching dinner on the warship, so you can go and, you know, drink fine wine and talk about,
and they have like a chill out space and all
it
like
just
that.
Doesn't sound true though, does it? Like, you know, when we were trying to convince my mum that the Police Spies Out of Lives business was true, and my mum was like, are you sure they don't actually possibly do this, you know? That's how it kind of feels to me. Like, is that really, they have a posh dinner and drink champagne on a warship floating down the
it's completely bonkers. But 2 years ago there was an amazing action where a small group of activists got in some kayaks. And they might,
oh, I remember
they might even have been inflatable boats, but you know, there's this incredible photo of one person in a kayak and this massive warship, and they managed to stop them coming in, which is just, you know, great.
That is really cool. Yeah.
I think I've seen the photograph where it's literally like this tiny little yellow dot that's this little thingy, and there's this warship that can't actually go anywhere because there's this person saying, no, I won't move.
That's really brave as well, isn't it? I bet that was pretty dangerous.
Yeah, pretty scary. But no, brilliant, brilliant stuff.
So what's going to happen this year?
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I think there's some quite big plans being made. A general call out's gone out. So this year, there's a special one-day drones conference, which they're throwing in as a treat on the Monday. So DICEY itself is Tuesday to Friday, the 10th to the 13th of September. Special drones day on the 9th, where you get to test out the drones. Mm-hmm. And a big, big day of action on the 8th. So I think the idea is to actually try and, you know, stop some of the setup before the arms fair is in place. But there's loads of stuff. Stop the Arms Fair is a kind of coalition of different groups working on it. And they've got a whole, you know, programme of events. So depending on what you fancy, whether it's, you know, a bit of direct action or a peaceful vigil and that kind of thing, you can, you know, take your pick.
Great. So there's going to be lots of different things.
Loads of stuff. But the 8th is the kind of big day where we want people to come together.
And if people want to do that, how do they access the process?
So probably a good starting point is the Stop the Arms Fair website, which is stoptheamsfair.org.uk, I think. And that has a kind of, it links through to all these different organisations. There was a big planning meeting on Saturday, which was great. And the next big event is a direct action training on the 17th of August. Mm-hmm. So if you fancy yourself a bit of activism but don't quite know how to get involved, that's really good.
Okay, brilliant. Where is that?
That's happening at Friends House in Euston. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I wanted to bring, because DICEY has been, they've been protests every 2 years. It happens every 2 years. It's been going on for, what, 10 years?
Yeah, ages. It used to be at the Farnborough Air Show, which is even further away.
Right. But I mean, it's got a long tradition of, you know, crusties going along and kicking up a stink while businessmen, you know, businessmen and women go and buy arms and stuff. But and there's always a topical issue. I mean, this is never like just an abstract thing. But at the moment, you've got this company that makes the tear gas. Mm-hmm. And I say the tear gas because, you know, everywhere. I was just watching like the internet or whatever, YouTube the other day, and I was with this fellow. You know, we were chatting and it was showing what was going on in Turkey and Brazil, and he was just saying, I've never seen it like this. I've never seen like just every single day images of people being tear gassed and, you know, vans running people over and water cannons and all this kind of stuff. But the company that is primarily the maker of all this tear gas that's going around to Turkey is there, isn't it?
It is, absolutely, yeah. And it's quite disconcerting because there are some photos from 2 years ago that show the stand, and you've got all these kind of tear gas canisters, multicoloured, lined up, and a big photo of how to use them, which is basically a big crowd of protesters and a load of tear gas. So DICEY is a great place if you want to suppress, you know, protest in your country or revolts. And
democracy in general.
Democracy,
don't they call themselves non-lethal systems or non-lethal weapons or something like that?
Yeah.
It's just, they all have these innocuous names. Like
it's completely rubbish.
They would never say like the tear gas people.
No.
You know, that kind of thing. It's just not going to...
But yeah, I mean, there's been some astonishing stuff like Bahrain. You've got the government saying, oh, it's great that the people are, you know, resisting a tyrant. And then you see the crowd control tanks that are rolling in, provided by Saudi Arabia and made in Britain. So, yeah. Oh,
it's so awful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, DICEY is the place if you want to, you know, shoot tear gas or rubber bullets and that kind of thing. But so that's the theme for this year. You know, it's kind of looking at what's happening in these countries resisting oppression by the state and kind of standing in solidarity with them. Because so many of the weapons and the countries themselves are going to be here.
I mean, to me, it's like, it's not even so much, there's this kind of problem with the sort of, because the arms industry and how it fits into the state and the capitalist system is a difficult set of questions, you know, like where do you put your criticism and what do you say, okay, this is what I think. But to me, it's like, we could debate about the morality of buying or selling weapons or making them or whatever, or do you sell them to the nice dictator or do you sell them to the nasty dictator and all that kind of stuff. But really, for me, you know, I'm just speaking personally, like, you know, you've got these people getting tear gassed and water cannon in places like Turkey and all of that. It's not really about a moral to me, it's not really about a moral criticism of the people selling it. It's really just about demonstrating to the people in Turkey that people give a shit over here and we're not tolerating it, and we know what's going on, and stand with them and things like that. Do you know what I mean? Because I think it can be quite frustrating and almost disempowering in this, when you sort of think, okay, how can we get through to these totally indoctrinated military state capitalist war machine people? You know, this is the world they live in, this is normality, you know, like to sell barbed wire, razor wire to these people so people can get sliced up is normal. That's what the world is. Do you know what I mean? So it's a bit of an uphill, but it's not an uphill thing to send a message to people just like yourself and somewhere else saying, we give a shit about you. We don't approve of what's happening. You know, that's easy. Yeah. You know, and
there's
a lot.
There's a great film called Not In Our Name. It's just half an hour. And it's about this amazing action in Derry in Ireland where a group of activists went into an arms company building and just completely destroyed their mainframe computer. I mean, it's beautiful. There's scenes of like them chucking stuff out the window because that factory was involved in the weapons that were bombing Lebanon back in a few years ago. And it's just an incredible film because these activists go out to Lebanon to meet with some of the families affected, and that's exactly what they say. You know, it was just for them, it was so important to see that anyone, you know, someone gave a shit in the country where these weapons are coming from.
What was that amazing action where there was a, I think it was a group of women that destroyed a bomber? What was that? And then they didn't get convicted because the judge sided with them and said they were taking
the
moral
right.
So
that was
right.
The same as these Irish, they didn't get convicted either. That I think it was a Trident Ploughshares action.
Right.
So yeah, they caused like millions of pounds worth of damage to a carrier.
So you can get these really amazing successes in this area.
Yeah.
Actually not suffer too bad legal consequences as well.
No, and I mean, I think that's the important thing with any type of campaigning is you kind of have to keep sight of the small successes. So our little coup from 2 years ago is that we found out that the National Gallery, which is a pretty iconic public institution, was hosting the final dinner, or it was hosting one of the dinners for the arms dealers at Dicey. So we found out and, you know, did a kind of creative action, and that was great. But the reason that happened is because Italy's biggest arms company was sponsoring the gallery. So from that one action, we kind of launched a big campaign to get the gallery to reject arms company funding. And then, you know, this contract was up for renewal this October, and a year ago, just before Halloween, which was when the arms company was hosting their next soiree, we'd got an awesome zombie themed action planned. I mean, I'd been thinking up the thriller choreography for it, and I was really excited.
Nice.
And we got a letter from the gallery saying, you know, we've cancelled our contract with the company.
Wow.
So, I mean, obviously the arms trade isn't over and it's tiny, but it's a small, kind of keeps you going.
But that's how these things are achieved. You know, you have to have faith in the ongoing process, I think, definitely.
And just trying to kind of discredit it as a legitimate thing, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they do go to great lengths to, like what we were saying with the YouTube videos, you know, that they know that they have to wrap what they're doing. And there was a guy at a meeting that you and I were both at, and he said the thing that bugged him the most was the obscenity of paradox.
Yeah.
Where you have this, you know, because when the arms dealers come in and the customers and buyers, they give them a little pack, don't they? Like a commercial.
Yeah.
They give them a teddy bear to take home to their kids.
Yeah.
They give them a bar of soap that's shaped like a nuclear submarine. They give them all sorts of stickers and
weird.
You know, weird little things like that. And they have pretty women walking around, you know, to schmooze them and all this kind of stuff. It's crazy.
And
they play music in the hall, don't they? They've got
definitely.
This kind of muzak, you know, to sort of while the tank thing turns around, you know, and he's like, oh, this is just like going to see an art gallery or something.
No,
you know?
Yeah. And there's a great quote by someone who says, the arms fair is a bit like a double glazing sales convention, but where every last bit of UPVC is designed to kill you. And it's, exactly that. It's like, this is just a shopping, you know, a trade show, but we've got machine guns.
Yeah, it's a trade show with death.
Yeah.
They had another just action with the Brighton guys. There's that long-standing campaign. You probably know more about it than I do. There's that, is it an arms factory or something like that?
Yeah, the EDO ITT factory.
And there's been a long, maybe a decade or something like of people just basically saying, we live in Brighton, we don't want this here, piss off kind of thing, doing actions. And I'm probably going to get this wrong, but I learned this in a, I think it was a Campaign Against the Arms Trade annual conference or whatever at, what do you call it?
Conway Hall. Yeah, I was there too.
Right, I don't know which one it was. It was probably a couple of years ago, but there was these guys and they, do you know the one where they were there and they were describing?
I think I was in that session actually.
Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
That was good.
And they were describing how they went in, just like the Irish crew who went into that arms company, they went in and they tried to you know, caused some property damage. And they, the guy who was telling the story was saying, I was in the office and we had calculated they had like 45 minutes or whatever it was, but to get away with it before the alarms brought the police and they would be arrested. And this, there was a display case missile in the office. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
There was a display case missile. It wasn't a real missile. It was just a display. And as he was smashing some stuff up, he kind of knocked it and it fell out of the window and it landed on the ground outside. And when the police came, they wouldn't come near the building because they saw this missile sat there and they were just like, no way, we're not going to. So they got an extra however many hours because the bomb squad had to be called just to open it up and see, oh, it's hollow. It's not a real missile.
They kind of like, don't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it was just like, I can't remember, did they get let off by the jury as well?
I think they did, yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean, it's a
similar
three cases where people have, I mean, juries, I mean, there's probably more iffy subjects, but juries just faced with this idea of like, look at this Palestinian child, look what this thing did to him, you know, for money. And then some juries just go, yeah, fair enough.
I think that direct link is really key. Yeah.
Well, that was the whole substance of their defense, wasn't it? They didn't try and get out of it in a legal way. They just said, look, this is why we did it.
Yeah.
We're guilty legally, but this is why we did it. And juries were like, yeah.
And there's some hilarious, you know, I was in an action once where I was standing on a roof of something where an arms dealer event was happening, and the police were like, you know, it's fine that you're up there, but we're really concerned about your health and safety. And it's just like, what about the health and safety of the people, you know, being bombed by the weapons that are being, you know, it's just a complete, you know, and they try to paint activists with this, you know, brush of they're violent. But okay, and the war, you know, what's going on there?
But it's weird. I mean, it is weird, isn't it? Because, you know, if activists got all, or anybody just got all militant and were like, fuck this bollocks, and like, you know, threw a brick into the thing, it'd be all over the papers going like, oh, the protesters got so violent trying to put a stop to the arms fair where they were selling tanks and missiles and landmines and things, you know.
But like, it's the same with the squat evictions as well. They show all these terrible, you know, people being violent in the eviction stuff, not that they are anyway. And if you compare that to the reality of, you know, people freezing to death on the street because they have nowhere to sleep, it's like, there might be some kind of agenda
flaw in your analysis.
That's why we need Chomsky to be the new head, the new, I don't know what you call it, editor of the Daily Mail. I think this is a campaign we need to
prove to our listeners as well that we read people other than Chomsky as well. Like, he just keeps getting mentioned. Maybe that's because we know
people
know him.
I don't read Chomsky, I just watch him on YouTube. Oh,
okay. That's one way of doing it.
Fair enough. Do you want me to read him to you? We'll have a sesh.
Like a bedtime story.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool. So I'd like to say thank you so much to Sarah for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. It's amazing to hear about the kind of things you've been involved
in. Let's just get it like nailed down. Like the arms fair is when?
10th to 13th of September.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Special drones on the 9th and big day of action on the 8th.
Big days of action. And there's a whole network of people gathering to support people who want to come down and get involved. Yeah. There's Stop the Arms Fair, which is the website.
Yeah, that's the one.
Stop the Arms Fair. And there's going to be involvement from all sorts of people in Occupy and all this kind of stuff.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be a mad one. So if you're bored in September and all of that, just come down to London and really irritate some arms dealers.
That'd be great.